Now it is my great privilege to again be present here and to minister the word at this time with our brethren. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel by Luke, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Verse 49. In each of these scriptures that I will read, we have the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And here was the result. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now the next reading is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Gospel by Mark, chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Final reading, Acts chapter 1. The book of the Acts, chapter 1. And we'll commence our reading at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now the Lord will bless with what we have heard the reading of these precious scriptures of divine truth. The reason I call these three readings precious truth is because they are the only record of how the ascension took place. It's interesting that all the other features concerning the Lord, his birth, his pathway, and his coming again, and his work on the cross, are repeated over and over again in each of the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. But the ascension, the physical, literal ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, is only recorded on three occasions that I have read today. To me, that's a very interesting thing that the record is given of the very basis of Christianity. Because if Christ be not risen, we are yet in our sins. There is no salvation. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is a fundamental of Christianity. And yet how little we hear about it. I have been ministering the word for many, many years, as you know, and have heard much ministry. And I've never heard anyone take time to speak from the three occasions of the ascension, the only record given, how he went and what happened as he went up into the presence of the Father. Now notice in the first one that I read, what is emphasized is our worship. They worshiped Him. You know, the basis of our worship is Calvary. But the one that we worship is at the right hand of God. And every time that we are gathered together as believers to worship in the beauty of holiness, we often speak and look back at what He endured and how He passed through death for our redemption. But we must remember that worship is founded on the fact that He's risen, glorified, and magnified at God's right hand. And so, in our reading of Luke 24, we find that they returned having seen Him ascended and worshipped Him. The world knows not what they worship. But on the occasion when we came, and I trust all of us here have had that wonderful experience, I go back longer than probably any here to a day when as a young man from World War II, I bowed my knees in the presence of God and believed that He died and was buried and that He rose again the third day. And I trusted Him for time and for eternity. A risen, exalted man. We don't point people to a dead Christ hanging on a tree. We preach Christ crucified and was buried and was risen again the third day. And in these three portions I've read, we have the only witness given by God of the ascension, what really took place. He rose from the grave, and in the midst of them as they watched, He began to ascend from the Mount of Olives that was oft as dead as the homeless stranger. Higher and higher He went, past clouds and past all His creation, into the very presence of God. And God looked upon Him and said, "Sit ye here." And He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And so my first reading of the Ascension brings me into a state of worship. We worship not a dead Savior upon a tree, but we worship one who ascended far above all and has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So the first witness of how He went and where He is here in this reading in Luke 24. But in Mark 16 that I read, verse 19 and 20, we have the second record given by Mark. The second record of the physical and glorious ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it remarkable that it's only three times that the ascension is explained and set out before us in a careful manner. And here we have Mark telling us of the ascension. If the first one affects our worship, the second one affects our witness. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so on a Lord's Day morning, when I go out to sit down as I have done all my life since I was saved, to remember Him, my worship becomes real when I remember that He ascended up. And those first and early believers, as they saw Him go, they worshipped. Now in the second scripture, they witnessed. It's a risen Christ in heaven that gives us a desire to witness to others. If Christ is not risen, we are in our sins, we're all men most to be pitied. But how often do we hear the resurrection preached with the ascension in these lovely scriptures. And this scripture tells me that as they saw him go into the presence of God, they went out to witness. That's what gives power to our witness. Not a dead Savior, but one who ascended, went higher and higher through the atmosphere and yonder through the clouds. Higher and higher he went, and the voice of the Father said, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of your feet." Thank God for a risen Christ. The resurrection is remarkable, but the ascension is even more wonderful. As he led them out, and they saw those feet that bear the wounds of Golgotha's hill, as he rose higher and higher, until the cloud received him from their sight, and the Father said, "Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet." Thank God for the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. But on the last record that I read in Acts 1, 9-11, here we have something more than worship or witness, but it's waiting. Waiting. That's the emphasis there. The believers are to worship in light of a risen Christ. I know we remember his death and burial, but in all our worship, we should glorify the power that raised him and set him down far above the heavens at God's right hand. We worship. And we go out to witness because we believe he is alive and he's at God's right hand. He rose triumphant. They saw him go. The clouds received him from their sight. He went higher and higher until the Father said, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet." And we worship one who is far above all. And he deigns to be the center of our gathering. The center of an assembly is not the ability of men to teach. The center of an assembly is not even the desire to meet with fellow believers. But the center of an assembly is the one who rose triumphant and fills heaven with glory, and yet he condescends to be in our midst. And I believe today, with all my heart, that we must get back to those old paths. We look to men, and we desire men that have ability, and we desire numbers that would fill our halls, and we desire to become great many places. But the greatest thing of all is this, where two or three are, having been gathered and being gathered, there am I in the midst of them. And I believe, dear brethren, that there is an unseen person with us today. There's one who attends to such a gathering as this. We are believers gathered unto his precious name. We are believers who have seen the truth that outside the camp of the religious world, we're not here to defame or preach against others, but we believe that God has chosen us and called us by his grace and gathered us unto the name and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not a religion. We are a special people that have learned the truth that the one who came from the glory and rose again, and in the eyes of a little company, the world was not there to see him go. A little company, that little company is the beginning of assembly testimony. And we appreciate that he rose and he lives at God's right hand. And we appreciate also not only to worship him, but to witness for him. Not only witness in our testimony, but personal witness. Let me ask you, when did you last speak to a soul not with sad words or strong words, but to lay your hand on a man and say, listen, there's something better than the world. There's something greater than greatness in the eyes of men. There's something greater than being where you find yourself today at the very top of a business. I've spoken to men like that. They were kind to me. I drew them aside and I said, I just want to have a little word with you. All this that is around you will pass away. And the only thing that is necessary and needful is this. To know the one who rose from the garden tomb a little while later, led out by the hand of God and a little group around him. No great ones there. A little group saw him go. And today, we desire to be the little group that would wait to see him come. He's coming back. Dear brethren, I'm absolutely persuaded in my mind that the coming of the Lord is imminent. We cannot say the day or the time. God has spared me. Now, for many, many years, and I don't want to go to heaven by dying. I want to meet him in the air. Every morning when I awake, I say to myself, let it be today, Lord, to be alive and remain, to see him come, and to be caught away into his presence where there is fullness of joy and at God's right hand pleasures forevermore. This is our blessed hope. That's why in Acts 1, where we have the third mention, the third outline of his ascension, we read these beautiful words that we're waiting for his coming. We wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It may, the day must be near of us coming again. To look at the world, to look at assembly testimony, to look, alas, how few are being saved. You know what I've asked for this assembly, for this gathering of the believers here? That every brother may have something that would touch the heart. That every one of us would be occupied with the man and the glory. And that every one of us might learn this. This may be the last time we'll be standing here in conference. Death may take us, but better, the Lord may come. I'm waiting for thee, Lord, thy beauty to see. I'm waiting for thee for thy coming again. The day must be near of thy coming again. The Lord's return. Look at the world. Look at the city. Look at the changes. Look at the terrible departure from the path of righteousness. Look at the many false cults and religions all around us that are gathering in great throngs. I feel like shedding a tear. That this great company would gather on a morning like this. Usually it's the smallest meeting. Here the hall is almost filled to the back, telling us that the Christians long to hear more about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. More of his love to others show. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. He's coming. The third record is we wait in Acts 1. They were waiting for his return. But he didn't come. He didn't come. And he hasn't come. Men I preached with years ago, I often think of some of them, like Mr. Campbell. What a godly man he was. And every day would say to me, Harold, I trust the Lord will come today. They had lost interest in worldly interests. Business, education, wealth, oftentimes robs us of rising in the morning and saying, come today, Lord. I'm waiting for Thee, Thy beauty to see. I trust that God will help us that we might look up and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. That is my message today with the others. I trust God will bless it. For Christ's sake.